Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody praise the Lord. Certainly our God is worthy of praise on today. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of adoration. Did you rise this morning with a praise in your heart? Did you rise this morning with a praise on your lips, ready to honor and to lift and to magnify our God? For he and he alone is worthy today. He and he alone deserves glory. He deserves honor. He deserves to be lifted. He deserves to be magnified. Great is our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you just take a few moments and just say something to the Lord as you're coming in to this virtual space. Say something to the Lord today. Open your mouth and actually say something. Father, we call you awesome. We call you amazing. We call you faithful. We call you great. We call you amazing. We call you our God. And we take time, we take moments to adore and to love on you and to appreciate you and to celebrate you as our God. Hallelujah. Though there be other gods in the land, there is no God like our God. And so we bless him on today, and we give him great praise. We give him great glory. We give him great honor. This is such an amazing opportunity to bless and honor the name of our Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, somebody's not here today to honor the name of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you don't know that someone else did wake up this morning. They woke up, but they didn't get to see 602. They didn't get to see 602 and still give God praise. But here we are, still in the land of the living, still able to give God praise, and we ought not take that lightly. Hallelujah. Certainly, I welcome you this morning. I'm Pastor Joe Brown of the House of Healing DMV. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the members. Welcome to returning friends, and welcome to anyone who could be dialing on this line for the very first time. We certainly appreciate all of you, wherever your respective places is, for rising up so early to gather with us on this call. We at House of Healing DMV believe that Wednesdays is a special day. It's a special day for us. Now, every day is a special day, but we just believe that there's just something mighty special about Wednesdays. And we love Wednesdays here at the House of Healing. We have already dubbed it to be HOH DMV Day, and that's a three-part day where God meets us throughout our day. And it starts on this very call, the empowerment call. It starts here where we're continuing to move through the book of Psalms. Continuing to move through the book of Psalm. It's been such a blessing studying Psalm and reading Psalm and rehashing it and, you know, really brushing our hair with a fine-tooth comb with the book of Psalm. It's just been great. And so I pray that it has been a blessing to those of you that have dialed in. So if you are a returning visitor or if this is your first time dialing in, you got to keep on dialing. Keep on coming in because it's going to be a blessing. So you got to keep on coming on back because it's going to be a great blessing to us. Hallelujah. And then we go into a time of fasting on Wednesdays as we're leading up to Pentecost Sunday. We've been praying that the Lord will meet us on Sunday and do something special in our midst. And so we're fasting today from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're eating nothing and we're drinking water, tea, and fruit juice only. So why don't you join us for our time of fasting and our time of consecration? And then for the month of June, we've already released the topics that we'll be discussing in our evening prayer and Bible study. Listen, it's going to be good. I pray that you are blessed as we start off our summer. These are some foundational teachings in June, and then we're going to lift off and move to some more robust topics. But for this coming Wednesday tonight, we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. And then we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about understanding the power and the usage of spiritual gifts. There are three sets of spiritual gifts we're going to cover, so you want to make sure you dial in for that. And then at the end of the month, we're going to be looking at an introduction to dreams and visions, dreams and visions. So it's going to be amazing. Please dial in. We would love to have you. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday as we celebrate the birth of the church, as we celebrate the entrance of the Holy Spirit. So please come on and join us for Pentecost Sunday. There's no special attire or anything like that. We just want to come and worship the name of our God. It is also Communion Sunday, so please be sure to prepare your elements. Those of you who will not be worshiping in person, please be sure to prepare your elements. But those of you that are worshiping in person, please be sure to bring your mask and let's just come and honor the name of God. Turn your attention to Psalm 53. Psalm 53, and it reads, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Oh, verse 6, concluding verse, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad." I would like to use for a subject on this morning, in times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need a Savior. When I was growing up at the Church of God of Prophecy, we sang tons of hymns in church. One of them was, "In times like these, we need a Savior." Here are some of the lyrics. "In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock." As David writes Psalm 53, he is living in a time when the nation of Israel is under a constant threat of attack from those who are opposed to God and his people. As David lives through these threats and attacks, he considers the enemy. He describes those who are opposed to God and the condition of their hearts, hearts that are corrupt and that will never turn to God on their own. But what we see in the psalm is that this indictment goes beyond the enemies of Israel, and it's actually applied to all mankind. In Psalm 53, we have one of the clearest statements in Scripture on the state of mankind when they are foolish. In Psalm 53, the fool is described as the one who rejects God, meaning in their heart, God is not accepted. The word fool in Psalm 53 comes from the Hebrew word Nabal, N-A-B-A-L, N-A-B-A-L. Nabal means aggressive perversity. Nabal means aggressive perversity. quite a pivotal phrase to describe several things: the world we're living in, components of the church today, and the makeup of the lives of some of the believers in the church. To experience aggressive perversity suggests a deliberate desire to behave in an unreasonable or unacceptable way. Simply put, aggressive perversity is contrariness. It's contrariness. Three major areas of perversity that is rivaling the earth right now. Number one, hear and understand truth, but remain stubborn in heart and go your own way. That is a group of people. They hear and understand truth, but remain stubborn in heart and go their own way. That's contrariness. Another group, there is a dilution and twisting of the word so that comprehension and application is blocked. And then there is another group. It is a mixture of other lifestyles with a godly walk and say and believe that that is acceptable unto the Lord. Psalm 53 should remind us that our world without Christ is quite devastating and laborious than we could ever have imagined. But Psalm 53 also helps us recognize the beauty of salvation. It helps us to recognize the beauty of salvation. The reality is, on our own, we are totally depraved, and we will never or rarely seek God or do anything to please him or earn his favor. God freely loves us, and he freely chooses to disseminate his favor the way he delights. This is why, regardless of us, he continues to offer salvation. Not just the altar call experience of confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart salvation, but the continual appearance of salvation in our lives that constantly rescues us day in and day out. You see, we just don't see salvation one time in our lives as believers, but we see salvation every single day. Once we see and remain fixated upon the seriousness of our diagnosis, the miracle of healing becomes that much sweeter. In other words, once we truly ingest how bad off we were until his blood found us and placed us on a new pathway, it makes us more appreciative and interactive with the gift of salvation. Fools reject God, but the faith-filled embraces him daily. They understand the need for daily salvation, daily interaction, and daily cooperation with God. In Psalm 53, David is considering the enemies of Israel who are wreaking havoc on the nation. In his writings, he graphically shows us the position of their heart. They are deniers and rejectors of God. Corrupt and good is nowhere near their actions. The indictment is serious, but the premise is elevated and emphasized when David explains that this same condition is true of all mankind. All of us, all men, are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And what we have to understand that this kind of situation is going on, even now in today's time. People are still being born in sin and still being shaped in iniquity. And what was happening in Psalm 53 is that there was a blatant disregard for God, all right? There was an incredible amount of corruption. And now we see that in our society today, from both believers and non-believers, where there is little to no regard for God. After describing our condition, David goes on to describe the sure and certain judgment on all those who oppose God in verses 4 and 5. What is clear is that God will have the final say-so of all that is happening in the earth. God will have the final say-so of all that is happening in the earth. Take some solace that what we see happening in the nation and in our world today is not lost on God. It is not lost on God. He will respond. He will act. He will judge. He will respond. He will act. He will judge. He will grant mercy, and his truth shall endure to all generations. I'm glad that Psalm 53 doesn't end after verse 5. In verse 6, David acknowledges that the God of Israel is able to save his people from those who oppose them. He says, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. David knew that God was a refuge for his people and that the workers of iniquity would never win. Yet that was hard to see at the present time. So David expressed his great longing that God would bring the victory and deliverance he had promised to his people. And I know when you look at shootings that happen in Texas and happen in Baltimore and the continuous civil unrest in the earth, it looks like God doesn't want to be a refuge for his people, and that the workers of iniquity and those that commit such damnable acts will continuously win. But the truth is, workers of iniquity will not win. They will not win. God is going to have the final say-so. Salvation belongs to God. Salvation belongs to God. I know it even looks like in your daily living that life is going to win, that the enemy is going to win. But salvation is not just a one-time occurrence. There is a daily salvation in God where he is a refuge for the believer. You're going to win. He is going to bring the victory and the deliverance that he has promise to his people. Oh, that salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. It'll come out of heaven. It's going to come. I want to encourage somebody to let them know you will have another encounter with the God of salvation. Verse 6 then goes on to say, when God brings back the captivity of his people. Now, this was not the Babylonian captivity that many generations experienced after David's time. Here, the captivity is used in a general sense, speaking of any time or situation where God's people are oppressed and bound, all right? And so God is going to loose you from your captivity. You will not stay bound and oppressed. Your captivity, hallelujah, has ended. Hear what I say, somebody on the other side of this line. Your captivity has ended. The season of misfortune has turned around on your behalf, and you are about to see a season of the fulfillment of the promises of God. So then David ends the psalm and says, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. David anticipated the coming deliverance and called the people of God to be joyful in consideration of the fact that the God of salvation is moving in their direction and that they will no longer be pummeled as a nation. God will make sure that they are taken care of. As I close, this psalm is an important reminder of the condition of our heart. It's a reminder that without Christ, our condition is far worse than we ever could have imagined. On our own, we are totally depraved, and we will never or rarely seek God or do anything to please him or earn his favor. But this is our hope, that through Jesus, our dead hearts can be made alive. And I come for somebody today who've been in situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance, and has seen so much go on in our nation that it has deadened your heart. But as we move swiftly toward Pentecost, may you experience a quickening in your heart, a coming alive in your heart, a realization that the God of salvation has moved in your direction. While we may rarely seek him willingly, he can and does give us faith to respond to his gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift, Zion. Don't you dare look it in the face haphazardly. And as I give you these 3 points, I need you to remember, number one, express gratitude for your salvation. Express gratitude for your salvation, whether you know it or not, whether you can always put your finger on it or not. You experience the salvation of God every day. Every single day, God rescues you from something. Every single day, God keeps you from something. Whether it is a car accident and you didn't even know. Whether it was danger approaching and you did not even know. Whether it was an intruder who thought about breaking into your house but was redirected by the angel of the Lord. You can't even fathom all of the ways that you have experienced the salvation of God in a day's time, or whether there were some intentional situations that you could recognize, but it was the salvation of God who beat back the hand of the enemy. So you have got to, no matter where you are, express gratitude for your salvation. He rescues us daily. Remember, you didn't choose him. He chose you. God protects that which he chooses. You can never earn salvation. He freely gives it. You're delivered every day. So he deserves your praise every day. Number two, exhibit living faith. Exhibit living faith. He always delivered Israel, so he'll always deliver you. The thing that I love about God and his relationship with Israel, you know, he always delivered them. Even when their actions were contrary to the law of God, he always delivered them. And Zion, House of Healing members, I need you to exhibit living faith. Because if he always delivered Israel, then guess what? He's going to always deliver us. How many times have we read in our study of just the book of Psalm alone how God delivered Israel? How many times have you specifically been stuck in a space, but God delivered you? Abide in living faith and don't move from that posture. Exhibit living faith when you get into a situation. All right, I want you to start sitting back and going, God, I don't know how you're going to get me out of this one. God, I don't know what you're going to do with this one. I'm just going to sit back and wait. I'm just going to sit back and let you do it. And I'm just going to abide in living faith. Express gratitude for your salvation. Exhibit living faith. And then thirdly, exude a hope to the world of the power of your Savior. Exude a hope to the world of the power of your Savior. In times like these, we need a Savior. One of the things that the world is looking for is solutions, and solutions is found in our Savior. Here, we have the Savior in operation in our life, but we don't have an answer for the hope of the salvation that lives within us. But we have got to start exuding that kind of hope and let the world know of the power that is within our Savior. The rejectors of today's world need and have to sense and feel the God in us. The fools of today's time still have an opportunity, all right, and who they will get that opportunity from is from us. So be an instrument of salvation daily as you receive salvation daily. Be an instrument of salvation daily as you receive salvation daily. Can you imagine going a day without the protection of God? Well, that is the chance that non-believers take every day that they wake up. Sometimes they go without the protection of God. Hallelujah. Because when you are outside of his will, you're outside of his protection. So as we consider Psalm 53, we should be grieved by who we were and overwhelmed that God would choose to save us. We should also look at the world we are living in today with eyes of hope, a resolve from heaven, and a role, R-O-L-E, a role in the manifestation of the answer. The state of the world today is just a mere opportunity for God to show who he is and for us to show others who he is. After all, we are the light of the world. We are still a city set on a hill. We are the tangible answer of grace and mercy. We can't continue to sing, preach, dance about grace, but not extend grace to a world that needs to see it. Like Israel, in Psalm 53, our nation is in trouble. We must lend our prayers to the nation and the leaders of the nation. But our greatest chance and opportunity will come through the power of God and a greater awareness of his positioning of each of us as kingdom citizens to bring his grace and mercy to the earth. For it is time that his kingdom come and that his will is done in earth through us. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we have a Savior. In times like these, we must let the Savior reign. In times like these, we need a Savior. Father, on today, we thank you so very much for the gift of salvation. We thank you, dear God, for the gift of salvation that still reigns in our life. For we call on the God of salvation, the God of salvation, the God that sees and the God that rests. We thank you, dear God, for the kind of salvation that leads to repentance. Lord, even now, as we lift up those in our life that may not know you, those in our lives that have not recalled you, Savior, that have not called you, Lord, that have not called you, Master. What we know is that salvation belongeth to God. And so we pray right now, God, that those in our lives that are unsaved, those that are non-believers, are in a backslidden condition, that you would work on their hearts and in their minds, that you would soften their spirits to come into the kingdom for such a time as this, that you would minister to them as only you can, that you would speak to their soul as only you can, that you would cause a returning in their hearts back to the things of God, that you will give an affection to their soul about the things of God, that they will cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" We pray, Lord, that the spirit of salvation will hit the earth. Let the God of revival sin waves through the earth in the name of Jesus. Lord, what we know about Pentecost is that Pentecost has an outcome. And the outcome of Pentecost is not just a praise break. The outcome of Pentecost is not just a good churchy service, but the outcome of Pentecost was salvation, was witnessing and revival. It was the spreading of the Spirit of God in the earth. And so we pray that the salvation of God will blanket this earth until men and women, boys and girls, children everywhere, people of all ethnicity turn their hearts back to you. For we as believers, we stand in the gap. We make up the hedge this morning that salvation comes to the earth. Say, dear God, turn hearts toward you. Do it in our families. Do it amongst our friends. Do it in our communities. In the name of Jesus, let the altars of every church that name the name of Jesus Christ, let the altars be flooded with souls in the name of Jesus. God, just as churches minister and preach and prepare for blessings and favor and prosperity, let churches minister and preach and teach about salvation and about evangelism and about witnessing and about outreaching in the name of Jesus. God, let there be, Lord, soul services, God, and enrichment programs toward outreaching and networking and bringing in of souls. In the name of Jesus, restore in our heart the willingness, dear God, to minister on such topics. Oh, Father, restore in the hearts of the messengers the abilities to talk about heaven, oh, Father, and to bring greater awareness and sensitivity of living a life for you in the name of Jesus. As salvation, God, comes to the altar, we pray that it comes to the House of Healing DMV. We will never stop praying for souls, but we pray that the God that answers by fire will set our altar on fire so that souls, God, will be drawn to the altar. Souls will be drawn to the house. You said, if I shall be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And God, as we exalt your name every Sunday, as we exalt your name every Wednesday, we cry, God, that it is an attractive sound to the house. It is an influential sound to the house that will cause men and women, boys and girls, families, people of various ethnicities to hear the sound of the house, to sense the influence of your people and come to the house of the Lord. Let the house be filled again with the sound of salvation, with the sound of revival as we hasten toward Pentecost Sunday. Release such a sound. Let it reverberate in the atmosphere. Let it resonate in the earth in the name of Jesus. Let intercessors get back on their post and cry for souls. Let the intercessor get back on their post and release the sound of revival. We need the sound of revival in the church again, God, for the church is still a soul-saving station. The church is still the refuge and the hiding place. The church is still the answer and the resolve. The church is still the city set on a hill. The church is still the light of the world. The church is still the salt of the earth. We pray that there is a burning inside of every believer to open up their mouths, share their testimony, give an answer to the hope of the salvation of God that's within them. We pray, dear God, that as we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that we'll weaponize our testimonies. We will weaponize it against the enemy in the name of Jesus. We are clear that salvation belongeth to God. So we pray for our nation and the issues of our nation. Don't leave us like this. Don't leave us like like this. God, we pray for the families that were affected in the shootings in Buffalo, the shootings, God, in Texas, and all of the mass shootings that have occurred in recent times. We pray for healing. We pray for comfort. We pray for encouragement. We ask for hope. We pray that you would be the glory and the lifter of their bowed down head in the name of Jesus. Some of them are discouraged and despondent, oh God, but we ask that the God of comfort, that the God of hope would surround them in a special and in a mighty way, that you would breathe new life into their spirit, God, that you would be their encourager, that you, oh Father, would somehow, Lord, help them to put one foot in front of the other in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for legislators in each of those areas where there have been mass shootings. We pray, God, for wisdom and knowledge to navigate these situations, grace to maneuver. Let it fall upon heads of states and leadership. You told us to pray for those that are in authority. God, we ask that you would use them as an answer to bring a resolve of salvation to the earth in the name of Jesus. We need a greater answer for gun violence. We need a greater answer for it, God. And we cry out as a people, even as the church, we are not desensitized to what is happening in the land. We are not so self-centered that all of our prayers are about us and asking for blessings and favor for us. But Lord, won't you bless the land? Lord, won't you heal the land? Lord, won't you send revival to the land so that we can walk down streets safely? We can drive in cars safely. Our children can go to school safely, in the name of Jesus. We call on Jehovah Nissi, the Lord God, our banner, the God that protects. We call upon you right now. Be the shepherd and take care of your people. Send away every enemy. Send it away even now, and let salvation come to the earth. Let revival come to the earth. We pray that this nation will stand on Christian principles. We pray that the God of the Bible will rise in the midst of this nation and every religion that is not naming the name of Jesus Christ. It is debunked. It is torn down. It is cast aside, but we decree and declare the word of the Lord. It is still at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We declare that Jesus is still Lord. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, let it become more widespread. Let it become more penetrable. We pray for the fluidity of the gospel. We pray for the preaching of the gospel. We pray for the movement of the gospel. Flood the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ until all have heard, until all have heard, until all have heard, until the predestined is saved in the name of Jesus. Let your gospel reach the four corners of the earth. Let your gospel subdue. Let the gospel subdue every virus that is moving in the earth that is anti-God. There is still power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we enter into a season of Pentecost, oh God, we thank you that power to be a witness has come to the church. Power to be an example has come to the church. Let us be the greatest example in the earth as we move toward Pentecost. It's not just about a tongue thing, but God, we pray that there is a baptism. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that individuals are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray that there is a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, that those that are underwater, that are already filled with the Holy Spirit, will speak again in a new tongue, will speak again in a fresh tongue. Let cloven tongues of fire, let it fill the earth. Let the fire of God, let it fill the earth now. Let it burn up evil ways. Let it burn up evil doers. Let it burn up sin in the name of Jesus. We don't pray much against sin, oh God, but as intercessors, we bow our heads today and we cry for the God of righteousness. Let the God of righteousness, let him fill the earth. Let the God of righteousness, let him handle aggressive perversity in the name of Jesus. Hearts and minds that have been twisting the truth, the devil is a liar. Let there be an unraveling of truth in the hearts and in the minds of your people. We release the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth can tackle and handle perversity. But your people, your people will handle the truth of God. Let the spirit of truth blanket the earth. Let the spirit of truth blanket our community. Let the spirit of truth blanket our churches. That even in the church, perversity will not live. But we decree and declare the spirit of righteousness. Let it be over your people. The spirit of righteousness, the let it be over your people. Let the conviction of the Holy Ghost, let it sit upon the believer, that even when we think wrong, the conviction of the Holy Ghost will be over us. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit, let it be in our speech, that even when our words are inappropriate, we can be humble enough to apologize. We can recognize in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let the conviction of the Holy Ghost, let it be in our actions, God, that as we are doers, let us be doers of your word. Let us be that kind of sensitive as a church, as a people, as we move toward Pentecost. We thank you that there is a breakout of salvation. Let the God of salvation, let him flow in the earth. Let the God of righteousness, let him flow in the earth. In the name of Jesus, Pentecost is about power to be the example. Let us be the example that lives godly. Let us be the example that lives cleanly in the earth. Let us be a martyr for Christ. We choose to die for Christ. We choose to stand for Christ. Let there be a death this weekend. Oh, I prophesy to the lives of believers this weekend. Let there be a death in us. Let there be a death in us because of the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't just want a praise break. We want a slaying of flesh. We want a crucifying of attitudes. We want a mortifying of spirits that is not like you. We call for a slaying on Pentecost Sunday. Randa babokoya. Slay in the church, God, until flesh dies. Slay in the church, God, until appetites and cravings die. Slay in the church. Randa babakataya. Kill with your mighty sword, God, until there is another yes. Until there's another yes, we open our mouths as we move toward Pentecost, and we give you a yes. We get our cloak. We get under the cloak of the God of our salvation. We'll call on your name until you change our identity. We'll call on your name till you work on our character. We'll call on your name name until we are endued with power from on high. Salvation belongs to God. Salvation belongs to God. We'll look to see every day. We'll expect your deliverance every day. We'll expect you to be a refuge every day. Rescue us from ourselves. Rescue us from appetites and cravings. Rescue us from the things of the world. Rescue us from the things of life. Just like you did for Israel, every time they got in a situation, you rescued them. And we believe that you'll do it for us. And so we'll give you praise in times like these. We need you, Savior. In times like these, we're glad that we got a Savior. In times like these, we're also happy that we can run to our Savior. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for being a keeper of our soul. Now, God, as your people are released into their day, we declare, God, that they shall be kept. They shall be sustained and preserved by the power of God. And we'll be so careful to give your name praise, to give your name glory, to give your name honor. It's in Jesus' name we go and we leave in praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And I'll see you tonight at 7 p.m.